Pastor Terry Tiemann.
Thank you. I just want to begin by saying how grateful I am to be here today. This is a real pleasure for me, especially the part where I get to embarrass my brother. And didn't you think when he had the blanket on and his feet propped up, he kind of looked like he would look in 10 years when he's in the nursing home? So that's my primary goal today, to try and embarrass him as much as possible. My secondary goal is to show you the world's cutest babies, which happen to be my grandchildren. So I came all the way here from Memphis, Tennessee, to show you the world's cutest babies. But if you think those two are cute, take a look at these two. Wow, aren't those some cute babies? Now, which one of those do you think is older? Do you think this Pastor Tiemann is older or this Pastor Tiemann? Me? No, actually I'm not. Are you serious? Look at this guy. Actually, yeah, he's 11 minutes older than me. So all I have to do is look at him and I'll know what I'm going to look like in 11 minutes. The way that it works. So let's see if you can guess which one of those cute babies is your Pastor Tiemann. Who thinks that Pastor Tiemann is on the left? Raise your hand. Okay. How many of you think he's on the right? Okay. There he is. He's on the left. Okay. And I'm on the right. So you notice I'm a little bit bigger than him then. I was actually, when we were born, I weighed a little bit more than him. That's no longer the case. Are we having fun yet?
I've got to do this.
He was much nicer at 8 o'clock, I can tell you.
I wasn't
awake
yet.
Give enough breakfast or something.
Okay. What I thought would be kind of fun this morning to do a little contest, and we're going to call this game Name Your Pastor Tiemann. And you should have in your sermon notes a little scorecard. So you can check these off as you get them right or if you don't. I think there's going to be somewhere around 12 altogether, so we'll see how well you do. And we'll start out with a real easy one, see if you can name your Pastor Tiemann. And the reason this is easy, of course, because we're labeled. Yeah, you notice that? So our parents had really had it rough, because there were four of us born within 3 years of each other. And so they kind of lost their minds and had to put our letters on our sweaters so they could tell us apart. Now, as you might imagine, we got in trouble quite a bit. And the punishment, the discipline for whenever we got in trouble was pretty much the same. We had to cut weeds on our farm. And so it was said that we had the cleanest fence rows in the entire county. Because pretty much every day we would be sent out to cut weeds. And, of course, I think you heard the story about when we used the machetes, and somehow he couldn't dodge the one I threw at him, and it hit him somehow. So you've heard that. So here's a picture from when we were in first grade. So is your Pastor Tiemann on the left or on the right? How many think he's on the left? How many think he's on the right? You are correct. You're pretty good. Okay. So, don't you love those hairdos? Aren't those great? How about these hairdos? Ooh. Oh, yeah. So, that's our confirmation. And so, how many of you think that your Pastor Tiemann is on the left? How many think he's on the right? Okay. Well, that stern, sober-faced guy on the left there is actually Pastor Mayo. and your Pastor Tiemann's right next to him. Yeah, that would be Larry. And, you know, he really likes this picture because this is the only picture that exists that exists where he's taller than me. This is the only one. And that happened for about a year. I don't know exactly why, but he was taller than me for about a year. Okay? Now, today is his or this, we're celebrating 25 years of his ordination. I've actually been a pastor for 33 years, and people have wondered why I've been a pastor longer than him. And this is a true story. When we were in eighth grade, we decided, both of us, that we wanted to go into ministry, into the pastoral ministry. We both wanted to be pastors, and we were going to go to St. Paul's Lutheran High School in Concordia, Missouri, to prepare for that. But there was only one scholarship for pastors. There was another scholarship for teachers. So our parents decided that maybe we should shoot for both scholarships. So we actually flipped a coin to decide who would go into the pastoral ministry and who would be a teacher. And so I won the coin flip, I guess. And so that's exactly what happened. So he actually taught at Saginaw Valley Lutheran High School for 6 years, and also taught at St. Paul's College for a couple of years before he went into the pastoral ministry. So that's why, that's how that happened. Okay, here's another picture. Let's see, maybe. There we go. So this is a baseball picture. You know, Pastor Tiemann likes to play baseball. So how many of you think that your Pastor Tiemann is number four? And how many of you think he's number five? Okay, he is number five. Okay, so he's on the right in this particular picture. Now, he was quite a baseball player in his day. He actually threw three no-hitters when he was in high school, and also was third in the nation in strikeouts when he was in college. Why he thought it was so good to strike out so much, I don't know. I don't know why that's such a great record. So he was a pretty good pretty good ball player, you know, back in the day. How many of you think it's kind of hard to tell us apart? You think it's kind of hard? Okay. So here's our senior picture. How many of you think Pastor Tiemann is on the left? How many on the right? Okay, he's on the left. I have to look sometimes myself. How about this one? This is our graduation from college. How many think he's on the left? How many think he's on the right? Oh, you're getting good. Okay, you're getting pretty good. So not everybody's getting these all right. So, you know, we do kind of look alike, I guess. And so we used to switch with each other sometimes. And, you know, because it's kind of fun to do. So we did this in college once. We were going to college together. We had different classes. And so we thought it'd be fun to switch. And so I switched with him and vice versa. What he didn't tell me, though, was that particular class that day, he had to give a report. But I got him back because I did a really bad report. And half his grade depended on that, so he's real bright, you know, when he that day. Okay. This is a kind of an interesting picture. Everybody should get this one right. How many of you think Pastor Tiemann is in the front? Yeah, you'd be right, okay, and I'm in the back. So this was actually Pastor Tiemann's vicarage. So he vicared at the church where I was serving. And as far as I know, this has never happened before or since in the history of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Now, the reason that this happened was because he had come down the summer before to do a summer vicarage. We were starting a new church in Fort Smith, Arkansas, where I was pastor. And I wanted some help with canvassing, which is knocking on doors and talking to people and inviting them to the new church. So he came down and did that. But at the end of the summer is when he got cancer. He was diagnosed with cancer, went through treatment for that, then went back to the seminary and continued his treatment and finished his second year at the seminary. Well, we were ready at that time then for a vicar. We needed somebody to serve at this new church, which we had already started then. I really couldn't do both of them. And so our congregation said, well, why don't you get your brother to be our vicar? And I thought, that's an awesome idea, but they'll never go for that. But I wrote this really sappy letter, pulled at the heartstrings of all of the people on the committee about how, you know, horrible it was that he had, you know, gotten cancer and now he needed extra attention and, you know, all this stuff. And so they actually let him come and be the vicar at our church. But it was an awesome year. He did a wonderful job. He was the best vicar that I ever had. I had four of them. I did. I had more than one. But it was a great year because we got to do everything together. Don't tell my wife, but I think it was the best year of my life. Because we got to do everything together, including playing sports. And so that year, we formed a basketball league, a church basketball league, which we won the title. We formed a co-ed bowling league, which we won the title. We played volleyball. We didn't win that. Golf, tennis, you name it. We did that the entire year. But best of all, we really got to serve together in ministry. That was always a dream of ours to be able to do that. We got to do it for a year. And now we're trying to figure out how we can continue to do that maybe sometime in the future. We haven't got a plan yet, but maybe we'll think of something. So that was a great year for us. Okay, next one, maybe. There we go. Which one is Jake and which is Elliot? That's one of my favorite pictures. I call that the Good News Brothers. Okay. Oh, by the way, your pastor Tiemann is on the right. Yeah, there you go. Okay. How about this one? This is all of our brothers. There's five of us all together. So after one of our golf outings, we're in the back. So is your pastor Tiemann on the left or on the right? How many think he's on the left? How many think he's on the right? He's on the left. He's standing on his tiptoes. That's why he's taller than me in this one. Okay. And this is the last one. How many of you think your Pastor Tiemann's on the left? How many think he's on the right? He's on the left. Okay. Now, here's your bonus question. These are our twin nieces, and we are godparents for them. That's Emily and Elizabeth. So which one's Emily and which is Elizabeth? I have no idea, actually. Now, Emily's on the left, Elizabeth's on the right. Okay, so that's kind of fun. And I could go on with this, but, you know, we want to celebrate. And by the way, how'd you do on your scores? Let's see. How many got all 12 right? So a few of you did. Okay, how many got 10? How many got half right? How many got less than half? I mean, that's 50-50, right? Okay. So it's fun to celebrate family, and I think it's important to celebrate milestones like 10 years in a church, 25 years in ministry. But it's even more important to recognize who we are together as family, brothers and sisters in Christ. So we're all related in a sense, aren't we? That's what it says in our scripture lesson for today, Romans chapter 8. It says, those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons and daughters of God. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And how awesome is that? To be the children of God. Sons and daughters of the King. But you know, it hasn't always been that way. In fact, there may even be some folks here today who are not part of God's family. And the reason that I say that is because scriptures tell us that we're slaves to sin. And there's no place for a slave in the family of God. So let me just ask you, how many of you are sinners? It's honest. We confessed that earlier, didn't we? That we're disobedient children. We are people who have fallen short of the glory of God. So we are sinners. And what's the punishment for sin from our Heavenly Father? It's death. It's eternal damnation in hell. That's literally what we deserve. There's no place for slaves in God's kingdom. In fact, during the time when Jesus was on this earth as a human being, he was born during the reign of Caesar Augustus. And historians tell us that Caesar Augustus crucified 30,000 slaves. And a slave could be punished just about for any offense. So one of the punishments was if a slave was caught stealing, they would brand the word thief on his forehead. Can you imagine if they did that today? You know, tattoos are kind of the in thing these days, right? And especially the NBA players, they have them all over their bodies. Can you imagine if they tattooed us with the names of our sins on them? And we'd have to walk around with tattoos that said liar, adulterer, betrayer, hypocrite, murderer. That's really what we deserve. Good thing that's not a custom today. It's not part of the punishment for what we do wrong. But yet there is a spiritual punishment. Somebody needs to rescue us from our predicament as slaves to sin. Now back in Jesus' day, the only way that you could be redeemed was by a relative. And of course the word redeem means to buy back. So a relative would have to pay a monetary price in order to free someone from being a slave. They didn't do that very often. One, because it was a high price. They had to pay exactly whatever it was the owner originally paid for the slave. They didn't have the money. Or maybe they really didn't like the relative all that much. They didn't want them to be free. But folks, here's the good news for us today. We have a relative who loves us very much. And that's our brother, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He loved us so much that he was willing to go to the cross to pay the price for our sins. Remember, that price was death. And so he died physically, but he also suffered the pains of hell for us. So we could be his brother and sister, children of the Heavenly Father. And how awesome is that? We have been adopted by God for the sake of our brother, Jesus Christ. Now, I know sometimes the word adoption maybe sounds like it's not a term of endearment. In fact, I suppose for some, maybe there's kind of a stigma that goes with being adopted. Thought being, well, you know, his or her parents didn't love that person enough to keep him or her when they were a child. But really, when you think about it, I think adopted children are even more special than biological children. We're kind of stuck with our biological children, right? what are you going to do? You got to keep them. But an adopted child has been handpicked by his or her parents. And I think that's really very special. I've got a picture here. It's about 100 years old of someone who is adopted, and that would be our grandmother. Her name is Emily Kramer. And here's the story. Maybe you've heard it. At that time, her parents would be our great-grandparents, were getting up in age. They were farmers in western Missouri, and they had no children, and they had no prospects of having children. And there was no heir for the farm, no one to pass it, you know, on to, no one to give the family name. And so Opa, that's what they call him in German, stands for grandpa. So one day, Opa goes to St. Louis, Missouri. And he says that he's going to buy mules for the farm. But in reality, he went to the Lutheran Children's Home, which is an orphanage, and he looked for a son. In fact, he checked out every boy in that orphanage. And he was looking for the strongest, healthiest, most intelligent boy that he could find, because this was going to be the son that would carry on the family name and inherit the farm. But as he went around, there was this one little girl. She just had the most infectious, gorgeous smile. And every time he walked by, she would hold out her arms, just begging him to pick her up. And that's exactly what he did. So he carried her around the room, checking out all those other boys. And finally, he picked one. And he gave the little girl back, put her in the crib. She was over 2 years old at the time, and she still couldn't walk because she had been neglected as a child. And so he went back to his hotel room that night, and he couldn't sleep. And the reason was because he couldn't stop thinking about this beautiful little girl. And he prayed about it. And finally he decided, I'm going to adopt this girl rather than a boy. And that's exactly what he did. And so that's how my grandmother got her name. And we wouldn't be here today if it wouldn't have been for that adoption. Now, what do you think? Do you think that Emily Kramer's parents loved her any less than all the other parents there in Alma, Missouri? Absolutely not. In fact, I would suggest that she was loved more than all of the other children because her parents handpicked her from all the rest. And you know what? I believe that Larry and Sharon Tima know a little bit about adoption as well. You recognize their son, Philip, about 23 years ago. They handpicked him to be their son. Now, at the time, they didn't know that he would develop autism. And, of course, that was a great challenge for them along the way. But, you know, I really believe that not only did God help them choose Philip, but I think that God also chose Larry and Sharon to be Philip's parents. Because he knew that they would need someone that would give Philip extra special care. That would really love him. And I think that also helped prepare your Pastor Tiemann to be the kind of pastor that he is today. We've often talked about, you know, why did he get cancer and I didn't? Why did his son get autism? I really don't know the reason why, but I know this. It's helped make him the person and the pastor that he is today. To show this congregation the love of Jesus Christ and all that he does, and also to reach out and to help you reach out to the people in your community with that same love. It's really special to be adopted. And you know what? That's exactly where we find ourselves today. You and I have been adopted by God. We're handpicked to be his children. Sons and daughters of the King, which makes us heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. And what does Jesus inherit? Back in the day when there were slaves 2,000 years ago, the inheritance would always go to the oldest son. Now, Jesus is the only true son of our Heavenly Father. And yet it tells us in Romans that we are co-heirs with Christ. It means that we're going to inherit the same thing that he has inherited, which is eternity in heaven. How about that? Not only will we be in heaven forever with Jesus, but we're also going to be ruling with him over a new heaven and a new earth. That's really what we celebrate here today. Oh, certainly 10 years in ministry here at Emmanuel. 25 years as an ordained pastor. But what we really celebrate is that we have all been handpicked by our Heavenly Father, that we are brothers and sisters in Christ, and that we are surrounded by family. I mean, what do you do when you go through tough times? What do you do when you have struggles in life? You turn to your family, right? And what better family than brothers and sisters in Christ? Members of Emmanuel Lutheran Church. I want you to take just a moment right now. Just take a look at your family, would you? Yeah, just look around. Pretty good looking bunch, isn't it? These are your brothers and sisters. Go ahead and say, hi, bro. Hi sis. They're all over, right? Some of them literally. What a great thing to have family. And what a great family this is. Let's celebrate today. Let's give them a hand, shall we? What a great family God has given to you. But we also celebrate that we're all related. We're all family together. We're part of God's family, brothers and sisters in Christ. And what a great Heavenly Father that we have, who loved us enough to send his only true son to be our Savior. And what a great brother that he would literally lay down his life for us on the cross. And we have this Spirit of God that lives inside of us, that encourages us, that strengthens us, and helps us to live as God's family every single day. Amen? Amen. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.